Good morning. How's it going? You like the what's up? You guys are awake. The earlier service, they were like all like mellow and stuff. It reminds me of like winter and pillows and blankets and hot cocoa. You know what I'm saying? You know what I'm saying or not? Yeah, you know what I'm saying. That's right. We are yesterday we because of the snow. We were all in the house, you know, because the roses don't like the cold, right? If you follow me on Instagram, I did a live Instagram about me and the boys and Anna, we went out on the snowstorm. That's how I like, called that night. It was a snowstorm, right? I was like all white. And, yeah, right. I was like all white, snow everywhere, you know, it was like snowy, and I was like, what in the world I'm trying to be a good dad for, right? Trying to be a good dad, take the kids out in the snow, it's like, man, come on, man, it was fun. So I hope you enjoyed this snowy time. I'm supposed to take my kids sledding today, looking forward to it. Let me pray, and we'll start the sermon. Jesus, we love you, and we praise you for who you are. There's no one like you. You're the Alpha, the Omega, the beginning, the end. I love this note because it reminds me what you did with us. Your death on the cross of Calvary provided that my life would be white as snow. All the sins that I have committed, all those things that I have done that drives me away from you, that put a wedge between you and I, that makes me look dirty. You take that all away and make me white as snow. It's a metaphor to say that we are clean, that God has forgiven me, that God has forgiven us, and that there is hope for today, there's hope for tomorrow, because Jesus Christ has forgiven us and has given us a place of blessedness, a place for us to prosper and to live life well. I pray that this morning as we go through Matthew 25, that you'd speak to us, that you would just help us understand how and why it is important to live a life of stewardship. We love you, Lord. It's in your holy name we pray. Amen. Amen. We are in the sermon series called The Blessed Life. Last week, I started the sermon series, and I said we got to have a mindset. There's some mindsets that we need to have in order to live a blessed life. And I started with the theme. The theme for last week was this: God wants us to live blessed lives. And I ask you, do you believe that? Do you believe that God wants you to live a blessed life? So many times, because of the circumstances of our own personal lives, we don't think like God has planned for you and I to live blessedly, but some other things ought to take place. And that's not true. The Bible tells us that God has nothing more and nothing less but blessed prepared for us. And I said that for us to have a blessed life, there's three mindsets that we ought to partake. The first mindset is the mindset of dependency on God. We ought to depend on God. We are ready to depend on all kinds of stuff, but not on God. So I talk about that. The other mindset was the mindset of obedience to God. We must be obedient to God. We must got to have this mindset that we got to be obedient to God. And the last one, the stewardship mindset, this mindset that what God has entrusted to me matters. So I got to have this mindset of being good steward of that. And for me, that's what we're going to continue to expand in the next couple of weeks, because I believe, and that's the theme for us today, a blessed life is determined not by what you have, but what you do with what you have. So many of us, we're so caught up on this idea of heaven and heaven and heaven. And God's like, it's not about what you have. It's about what you do with what you have. And that's the theme for today. How are you doing with the things that God has given to you? The things that God has entrusted to you. I have a funny story about my parents entrusting me with something. And I'm messing it up, all right? I remember in 1996, 97, about like 16, 17 years old, my mom and dad was going back to the place where I was born, Goiânia, to visit my grandmas, all right? So they told me and my brother I couldn't go. I was working and playing soccer, and my mom and dad was like, we got to go to Goiânia to visit the grandmas, you guys going to stay home alone. Yes! Right? They're like, we're entrusted you with the house, with all this stuff, you know, you can make sure there's all these rules and all these things. And we were like, we got it, Mom. We got it, Dad. So they, you know, it is a 12-hour drive. So it's a 12 hours driving in and 12 hours driving out. They're going to stay there for 2 days. So that's a 4-day in the house. Me and my brother alone. Heck yeah, man. You know what we were thinking, right? So as soon as my mom and dad's like, we're leaving on Tuesday. So we were calling all the friends. Like, listen, my mom and dad's going to be out of the house. They're going to be gone for 4 days. We gotta make it a party. Let's do this big party, right? So we start planning. And what I have a friend who his dad had a barbecue place, so he got all the meat. We had another friend who, remember, I wasn't a Christian back then. We got all the booze, and we were like happy, calling all the friends. And my mom and dad leaves on Tuesday morning. I call the guys, the house is free. Come before noon so we can set up for the night. Alrighty, so the friends are arriving, all this stuff, and we're putting stuff in the house and getting the house all ready for the night. And all of a sudden, a friend of mine comes running in. He's like, Sam. I was like, what's up, dude? He's like, your mom and dad is at the door. True story. I was like, no, they're not. They're like, yes, they are. Well, my mom and dad left and forgot a couple of things. 2 hours later, they're coming back, find the house. You see guys jumping walls and like going to the neighbors, walking through the roof and all this stuff. And they left, and my mom walks into the house and is like, Sam, what's going on here? I was like, nothing, Mom. And the booze all over the table, you know, the kitchen table. It's not about what you got. It's about what you do with what you got. It's not about what has been entrusted to you. It's what you do with what has been entrusted to you. Regardless, to say I got in a lot of trouble and the house was never alone with me and my brother ever again. Because reality is, it's not what you do, what you have, but it's what you do with what has been entrusted to you. We all want to have blessed life. We all want to have these beautiful things of God to our lives. But what is it that you're doing what you have right now that God has entrusted to you? Matthew chapter 25, verses 14 through 30. I think it is a great reminder to us of this theme. And the theme came from this passage. This passage, if I had to summarize for you in a nutshell, is that God is telling us through Matthew chapter 14 through 30 that it doesn't matter what you have, what has been entrusted to you. It is about what you do with what God has given you. So I hope you have your Bibles with you, and if you don't, it is up there. I'm going to read from up there so it's a little bit more personal for you. And I'm going to ask you to highlight a couple of things in your Bible, some words that I hope to touch throughout the service, all right? So here's what it says. Jesus is a eschatological passage. He's talking about what the kingdom of God is going to be like. So it is a great advice for us to pay attention, so to know what is God expecting for us. So he's saying, for it will be like, he's talking about the kingdom of God. The kingdom of God will be like a man going on a journey who called his servants and entrusted to them his property. It reminds me of my mom and dad, right? To one he gave 5 talents, to another 2, to another 1, to each according to his ability. I want you to highlight the word ability. See, here's the thing. We read passages like this one, and we detach ourselves from it. And as I'm reading, I want you to start looking into and start to characterize each individual, and find yourself in this parable, right? Find yourself in this passage of Jesus. Find who you are on this passage. So here's a master, he's going away, he has this property, he has 3 different servants, and depending on their ability, he gives each according to it. Then he went away, he who had received the 5 talents went at once and traded with them. I want you to highlight the word traded. And he made 5 talents more. So also he who had 2 talents made 2 talents more. But he who had received the 1 talent went and dug in. I want you to highlight the word dug. In the ground and hid his master's money. Next. Now, after a long time, the master of those servants came and settled accounts with them. I want you to highlight the word settle accounts. And he who had received the 5 talents came forward bringing 5 talents more, saying, Master, you delivered to me 5 talents. Here I have made 5 talents more. His master said to him, Well done, good and faithful servant. You have been faithful over little. I will set you over much. I want you to highlight the word, I will set you. 3 words. I will set you over. Right there. Highlight those. Over much. Enter into the joy. I want you to highlight the word joy of your master. And he also who had 2 talents came forward saying, Master, you delivered to me 2 talents. Here, I have made 2 talents more. His master said to him, Well done, good and faithful servant. You have been faithful over little. I'll set you over much. Enter into the joy of your master. He also who had received the 1 talent came forward saying, Master, I knew you to be a hard man, reaping where you did not sow and gathering where you did not scatter seed. So I was afraid. I want you to highlight the word afraid. So I was afraid and I went and I hid your talent in the ground. Here, you have what is yours. But his master answered him, You wicked and you slothful servant. You knew that I reap where I have not sown and gather where I did not gather where I scatter not seed, no seed. Then you ought to have invested. I want you to highlight the word invested. Invested my money with the bankers. And at my coming, I should have received what was mine with interest. I want you to highlight the word interested. So interest. So that the talent from him, so take the talent from him. Give it to him who has 10 talents. For everyone who has will be more, will be given more, and he will have abundance. But from the one who has not, even what he has will be taken away, and cast the worthless servant into the outer darkness. In that place there will be weeping and gnashing of teeth. Very hard passage, right? Very hard passage. Here it is. There is a master. He has this possession. He's going away. He needs to entrust that possession with some guys. He chooses 3. He gives 1 5. He gives 1 2. And the other 1 1. He goes away. He comes back. And he wants to set an account. What have you done with that has been entrusted to you? They go through it. 2 guys is blessed. Hey, were you well done, faithful servants. The third guy. Was not blessed. He was cursed and kicked out of the kingdom. So here's the thing I want you to understand is that I'm going to say that over and over and over again throughout the service. It is not about what you have. It is about what you do with what has been entrusted to you. The master here has this word say entrusted. The word entrusted here is the word for assignment, for responsibility, the word for stewardship. The word here means that he has given you to take care of it. And he has been given his property. The master has given his property to these guys to take care of it. The one with 5, the one with 2, and the one with 1, according to their abilities. I love that word ability because it means like they got according to what they were capable of holding or capable of working or capable of using it. So many times in our lives, we want more than what we have. Isn't that what happens? We want a lot more than what we have. And here's the thing. If we're not capable of having more, God's not going to give us more. If we don't have the ability to handle more, we won't have more. That's what God does. He knows you, and he wants you to know yourself too. So, but we have this ability. We can expand our ability. We can be high-capacity leaders. We can be high-capacity people, right? We can have more ability, so we got to expand. So 3 things here quickly for you to increase your capabilities, your ability. You need to be effective with what you have. If you want to have more, you got to demonstrate a track of effectiveness, of being effective with what you got. Maybe you got to create system or take risks to be effective with what you got. You can't have more if you're not able to expand your abilities. So you got to be effective. The other thing you need to do is to need to learn. You got to have this mindset of a learner, right? If you want to increase your abilities, you have to be a learner. You got to be consistently learning. Those who have this settled mindset that I know it all, they're never able to get more because they think they already have reached a goal. We need to have this mindset of a learner to grow, to welcome challenges and change and new experiences. If you want to gain more from God, you got to be able to be a learner. And the other thing is not be afraid of feedback. You got to assume responsibilities and know what is your weakness and know what is your strength. If you want to be this high capacity person who gains a lot from God, you got to have at least these three things. You got to be effective with what you got. You have to have a mindset of a learner. And you can't be afraid of who you are, of feedback and knowing your weaknesses and your strength. And according to this guy's ability, it was given to them 5, 3, 5, 2, and 1. I love this. Verse 16, we see, he who had received 5 talents went at once and traded with them, and he made 5 more. See, here's the thing about the guys who had 5 and had 2. They traded. The word trade here is the word to work, the word to work it, to till it, to cultivate it. It is not only about having the ability to have those stuff. It is about what you do with them. And these guys, the one who had 5 talents and the one who had 2 talents, man, they were able to work it. They'll work it. They till it. And they were able to make more. So many times in our lives, we want more, but we just want to, we don't want to work it. We don't want to invest in it. We just want to have it so it's sitting over there. It's like a kid's in Christmas. They want all these toys and just to sit there and pile it up, right? We all want our kids to play with the toys and to enjoy that toy, but reality is that they want more just to sit there. They play with it for 2 days and it sits there. See, here's what's going on. This guy who had 5 and 2 talents, they work hard at what God has entrusted, the master had entrusted to them. If I need to translate this, it's, if the master, I would say the master is God, and the 5, 2, and 1 is us. We might find ourselves in one of these. Depending on our abilities, we get 5. Depending on our abilities, we get 2. And depending on our abilities, we get 1. What do you do with what God has given you? When we talk about talents, everybody goes to the idea of money, right? Oh, it's about, Pastor Sam's talents is about money. It is in this passage, but in our lives, it might be much more than that. It might be your professional life. It might be our professional life. God has given you these abilities and these opportunities, and he put you in this position that you have, and he's looking at you like, I'm entrusting you with this position. Now, what are you going to do with it? It might be a relationship. Maybe you have a marriage that God has entrusted to you, and he's looking at you like, I have given you this beautiful wife. Now, what are you going to do with it? It might be a relationship with your kids. It might be a relationship with your neighbors. It might be the talents that God has given you. Maybe you are uniquely made, and God has given you talents. Maybe you're a great speaker. Maybe you're a musician. Maybe you are a businessman. Maybe you are a businesswoman. Maybe you are a nurse. I don't know what your talents are, but God is looking at you like, I have made you. I have given you all these talents. I have given you all these things. I have entrusted to you. What is it that you're doing with it? Some people are working hard. Some people are increasing their abilities, right? And God has looked at them and come to settle account, right? On verse 18, the master come to settle the account with all three of them. So the two first, they are trading and they are making more. And the third one, on verse 18, but the one who has received 1 talent went and dug it in the ground. See, here's the thing. There is working well through stewardship, and then there's working well. There's working also, but in the way of hogging it. Right? So this guy, there's the two guys that are working well, they're trading, they're taking risks, they're increasing their ability to get more, and they do just that. The one guy, he digs it. Is digging work? Digging is work, isn't it? He's working. You can work in a good way, or you can work in a bad way. Everybody does some kind of work. What kind of work you're doing with the things that God has entrusted you with? So this guy, he's also working, but he's digging in the ground and hiding the money, right? So the master comes on verse 19 to settle account, and you know the result. The one who has 5 and the one who has 2, he says, "Well done, good and faithful servant. You guys have worked hard. You have multiplied. You got increased your abilities. Now the one who has 5 has 10. The one who has 2 has 4. Man, come and live a blessed life." He says this, "Enter into the joy of your master. I'll set you over much more." See, so many times in our lives we want more of God, but we are not doing well with that which God has entrusted to us, so He can set us over more. Great example of this, for example, maybe is in your workplace. Father, I need a better position. I want a raise. I want a better position. I'm just a regular guy. I want a manager. But as a regular guy, you're not working hard. You're not tilling it. You're not cultivating. You're not working with integrity. You're not honest. You're not kind. You're not working 100%. And then God look at you like, listen, you're not being a good steward of your job. How will I put you, set you over much more than that? Can't do it. It's not going to happen. It's not about getting a new job. It is about what you do with the job that you have. Same thing in relationships. It's the same thing with marriage. God has given us and blessed us with marriage. And we are like, we are always looking. And instead of investing in our relationship, we're always thinking about, what if I had a different wife? What if I had a different husband? What if I had more kids or less kids? And God's like, listen, it is not about what you don't have. It is about what you do with what I have entrusted to you. Not different with your church. Everybody wants to come and have all these expectations to church. And God's like, here, you have a church. It's not about having a church. It is about what you're doing, being a good steward with the church that God has given to you. It is easy to pick on it, but it's very difficult to invest in it. If that is in your job, if that is in a relationship, if that is with your talents, if that is with your church, if that is the truth of the Word of God, God will only set you over much if you are good steward of what God has given you right now. The question is, what are you doing? How are you doing that which God has entrusted to you today? The talent here is much more than just money. It's every aspect, every facet of our lives. It might be our health, might be our relationships, our work, our family, our emotions, our thought. Are you cultivating so to have more, or are you digging and hiding it? One word that it really puzzles me is on verse 25. The guy who had one, he says this on verse 24. He also who had received the one talent came forward saying, Master, I knew you to be a hard man, reaping where you did not sow and gathering where you did not scatter seed. So I was afraid. So many of us, we're not tilling, we're not cultivated because we're afraid of losing that which we have. Fear of losing what you have will get you nowhere. Nowhere. We don't live out of fear, right? We live out of this abundant blessing that God has prepared for us through working and working hard, profiting. And we see, because of his fear, he has this harsh statement said to him, you wicked and slothful servant. You wicked and slothful servant. See, this is what Matthew chapter 25 tells us. He's telling us this. It doesn't matter. It's not a blessed life. It's not determined by what you have, but what you do with what you entrusted, what God has entrusted with you. We need to understand that God owns everything. God is like this master. He owns everything. From the beginning, God created, and it is His, and He entrusted to us. Deuteronomy chapter 10, verses 14, we read this. Behold, the Lord your God belong, behold, to the Lord your God belong heaven and the heaven of heavens, the earth with all that is in it. Deuteronomy chapter 10, verses 14 tells us that. All is God's. It is not exaggeration. It's not a figure of speech. It is all God's. If God owns everything and we have some things on us, we are His managers. We are to manage it. God owns things and have entrusted to us. That's what He does. He entrusted to us. He trusts that you and I would be good stewards of that which He has assigned to us. On Genesis chapter 1, verses 28, we see this. We see God talking to Adam and Eve, and this is what He tells them. And God blessed them. And God said to them, be fruitful and multiply and fill the earth and subdue it. And have dominion over the fish and the sea and over all the birds of the heavens and over every living thing that moves on earth. God is saying, listen, I created the universe. I created earth. I created the animals. I created the trees. I created everything. Go be good steward. I entrusted that you would do well with this. You may know the word steward from being in a plane and in a train, right? A steward is someone who cares for somebody else. The word stewardship, the word entrusted and stewardship in the New Testament, the word oikomonia, from which it comes the word economy. The word economy that we have comes from that word, oikonomia. This word means manage of a house, which was the responsibility of a manager in the first century. Which translated to us today that we ought to be good administrators of that which God has given to us. God has appointed you and I to be good stewards of the world, of the things that He has given to us. And that it is a great responsibility for us to know that God has entrusted with us all these things. We have to come to terms with this biblical reality and start to realize that a blessed life, the kind of life that everything you touch goes well, prosper, the kind of life that the adjectives are like good and pleasant and enjoyable, the kind of life that it doesn't matter what you're doing, if that's related with your health or relationships or work or families or emotions or thoughts, everything you do, all your whole life, that the adjective is like good, pleasant, enjoyable. That's kind of life. Only comes when you realize that what you have, it is not yours, it is God's, and you're to manage it. Stewardship involves every aspect of our lives. And when we understand that, there's some kind of responsibilities that we need to take. We need to understand. And so here, let me tell you four areas here that I think that if we understand that we ought to be good stewards of these areas, we're gonna live well and you're going to find ourselves being blessed. I go through them fast. The first is stewardship and stewardship of time. God has entrusted you with time. It is in the parable, God has given you a specific amount of time, and it is for you to take care of it well. There is a quote that I love that says this, the greater dividing line between success and failure can be expressed in five words, I do not have time. Do you hear that? Your failures and your success, it is on those five words, I do not have time. Time is the most valuable asset that you and I have. But without the proper perspective, we will spend it foolishly. The Bible reminds us that investing our time wisely is important, for God is the one who determines the length of our stay on earth. I love Psalm 9, verses 12, that says this, so teach us, this is Moses, so teach us to number our days. Help us to understand the importance of time, so that we can use it wisely. This is what he's saying. So teach us to number our days that we may get a heart of wisdom. Help us to invest our time wisely so that we can get wisdom. A biblical perspective on time is so important for us to have because it helps us put in perspective and to use it wisely. Listen, this is the thing that I believe you need to know about your time. Life is brief, and we cannot be presumptuous about the future. Our life is brief. What you do with the time, with the minute that you have right now, it is important. Eternal gives meaning to the temporal. Listen, we have eternity before us, but we have this limited time on earth that will determine our eternity with God. What we do now matters, not only for now, but also for the future. Our time is owned by God. He's the only one outside of time. He was the one who created this aspect or this idea of time. We must be sensitive to the opportunities so that we can make the most out of the time has been given us. To use of our time, we reflect on our priorities. We don't usually pay attention on that. We don't usually think about that. Just as it is wise to budget your finance resources, it is also wise to budget your time. Let me tell you, let me ask you this question. How are you doing on your time? Are you a good steward of your time? Is the time that God has entrusted to you being used in the way that is effective? God wants us to be faithful stewards, not squanderers of the time He has given us. Another area that we need to be good steward of is the steward of time, of talent. We have learned thus far that everything that we have is God. God gives it to us. And it's not different with your talents. God has given you, make you uniquely. You have talents that I don't have, that those who are sitting beside you don't have. And God has made you in that way so that you could use your talents in order to impact me, to impact those around you, and impact the world. God has entrusted you with skills and abilities that only you have. And how you use it will determine the impact you make it in the world. Our purpose is not to please ourselves with our talents. It is not about boasting, self-boasting. I have all these talents, but it's to serve God and to serve others. Our gifts are not to be a substance of boasting, but a substance of service. Can you imagine if musicians would use their gifts and ability in order to boast about themselves rather than to bless us with their voices and with their talents? What about economists with their mind of numbers and knowing what to do with the finances? Can you imagine if they would not share the wisdom that God has given them to us? God has given you talent that ought to be used not only to serve God, but to serve those around you. So many people are wanting more talents, and God is like, no, get your talent, use it. Use it for the kingdom as people with what you have been given. The third stewardship is stewardship of relationship. I ran through this story here. It is a cool story it is a true story too. This gentleman, when he was young, his dad took him fishing. They went out fishing, and for him was the most impactful day in his life. He was able to hang out with his dad one-on-one and to share different things, and he got so much insight from his dad. He loved that day, and he talked about that day for years and years and years to come. His dad passed away, and his dad had a journal, and he was able to get on that journal, and the first thing he thought was man, I want to know about what my dad thought about that day. So after his dad passed away, he got on the journal and found the entry for that specific day. He opens it. There was one line, just one statement written. Gone fishing today with my son. What a day wasted. Gone fishing today with my son. What a day wasted. Isn't it ironic that the father regarded what may have been his most significant investment a waste of time? Scripture teaches us that people are eternal beings, so the time we invest in cultivating relationship by loving and serving people is never, never, never wasted. What are you doing with the relationships God has been giving you? God entrusted you with some very specific relationship. Are you working? Are you cultivating? Are you tilling? Or are you digging it? So many of us, we are asking God for new relationships. And God's like, how am I going to set you over more if you don't do well with what you got right now? If you have talked to me in a one-on-one, a counseling section, in my office, and dealing with the relationship, I always tell people, relationship is more important than anything that can come in the way of it. It is more important than ministry. It is more important than money. It is more important than things. It is more important than the idea or being right. Listen, don't destroy your relationships because you want to be right. God is calling you to be good stewards of your relationships. And for you to be good stewards of your relationship, there's five things you need to do, I believe. You want your relationship to prosper with your wife, with your kids, with your neighbor, with your boss, with your friends, with your pastor, with your member of Delaware Christian Church. You want your be good steward of that relationship and see that being blessed. Here's five things. Invest, the first one. But responsible investment requires knowledge. Make the time and spend the energy to get to know the people in your own life. How many times I have met with couple when asked the question, hey, about a specific question to gain knowledge about each other. They don't know each other. Get to know your husband. Get to know your wife. Get to know your kids. Get to know your neighbors. Get to know your co-workers, your family members, your friends. We cannot maximize our love for others if we do not make time to invest in their lives. Know yourself. You cannot give from what you don't have. There's a lot of people want to give, and you don't even have it to give. Being a good steward of your relationships, you need to be aware of what you can offer, what you can give. God has gifted you with some uniquely things. Go back to your talents. He has given you that so to bless your relationships. So you need to ask those questions. What are your gifts and how can you use them to serve and to love those around you? Perhaps this means using your gifts of hospitality to open your home to some people. Or maybe it's a gift of teaching and maybe get involved in the ministry and start teaching those around you. I don't know what your gifts are, but you know. And if you have those gifts, you need to invest in people's life. Pursue Jesus to pursue others. That's the third thing you need to do in order to be good steward of your relationship. We need to follow the example of Christ. Christ loved when it was hard to love, was inconvenient and unpopular to. He loved with tenderness and fierceness those who hated him. It is so easy to love others who loves us, but it's very hard to love those who hate us, who has a difference with us, or we are not on the same page with, isn't it? Christ didn't love you because you love him. He loved you first so that you would be able to love him. Isn't that what John tells us in 1 John? We need to love what is hard, inconvenient, and unpopular. The fourth thing is accountability. Being a steward of your relationship is to live in a community. Live in a community where the centrality of everything is Jesus Christ. We cannot flourish alone. And to live in a community, we need to keep each other accountable. That's part of living a relationship, is to hold each other accountable. Iron sharpens iron. And the fifth thing about cultivating our relationships, being good stewards so that God can set us over more, so that we can be more blessed, is the word prayer. Pray for your relationships. Relationships are hard and complicated and broken so many times. Pray for the Lord's grace, wisdom, and courage to love bravely and boldly in a way that glorifies him. Don't be, when you have a difference with someone, don't be asking God to take them out of your life. Asking God to give your heart for that person. Pray that God will open up your heart and tender your heart so that you will love them more. The last stewardship is stewardship of truth. Everyone who has been given much, much will be required. That's what Luke chapter 12, 48 tells us. Listen. As Christians, God has blessed us with his truth, the word of God. What do you do with it will determine if you're blessed or not blessed. Timothy, 1 Timothy chapter 3, 16, 17 tells us, chapter 3, verse 16 and 17 tells us this. All scripture is breathed out by God and profitable for teaching, reproving, correcting, and training in righteousness, that the man of God may be complete, equipped for every good work. See, God has given us his truth, so to teach us, to reprove us, to correct us, to train us, so that we can be equipped to do good stuff, to bless other people, and to be blessed in the process. If you don't allow, if you're not a good steward of God's word and allow it to come into your life and to move you and to redirect you and to retrain you, eventually you're going to have this hard heart towards the word of God. Like in Matthew passage, to enter the joy of the master, to have this blessed life, you must be good stewards of what you have been entrusted with. For a blessed life is determined not by what you have, but what you do with what God has entrusted you with. It's not about having more, guys. It is about being good steward of what you have right now. Let's pray. Jesus.